What a joy it is to be in church this morning. I praise God for the opportunity to worship our Savior together. And as we seek Him together, God is doing a great work. I'm thankful. I've had good reports. We had several couples out this weekend at a couples retreat there at the Wilds, and then the couples prayer advance. Thankful for that. And just appreciate what God's doing in each of our families in this church. It's special. It's very special. And I don't ever want to take it for granted. He gets all the glory. And I love to have a front row seat to it. I feel like that's a great honor and privilege. And you know, in ministry, as a pastor, I'm just going to share with you a little bit of, can I just have a little pastoral heart-to-heart here, just talk to you about just the blessings of being a pastor. You know, as an under-shepherd, I realize, first of all, that I'm not the real pastor here. The true pastor is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. He's the pastor of this church. He's my pastor and your pastor. He's our Lord and our Savior. He is the head of this church. I just happen to be called here to be an under-shepherd, an extension of the Lord's oversight, overseeing, if you will, of the flock. And but He's the Lord of the flock. He's the shepherd, and I'm so thankful. But one of the things I see along with families who are in this church and through the years, I realize there are times that I'm with you through some of the darkest moments in life, the trials that try your faith, and where either the enemy is fighting or perhaps it's just the result of living in a sin-cursed world. Whatever the case may be, I just want you to know I count it an honor to be alongside you as you journey with Jesus. He is our head. He is our pastor, and He is pastoring our hearts. Jesus is doing a work in your life and my life that only He can get the glory for. And that's through some of the darkest times. But I'm also accounted a great honor to see how the Lord does give great breakthroughs and does give those seasons of great victory where we see the breakthroughs come to fruition, if you will. And I just praise God that I get to do that with you. So thank you, church. I don't tell you that enough. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come alongside you under our pastor and great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Well, I want to continue the thought of missions this morning as we focus on missions praying, missions giving, and missions going. We want it to be our heartbeat. Church, it's God's heartbeat. God's heartbeat is for the world, to reach the world. And we want to be very involved in following the will of God in reaching each soul for whom Jesus died. And if you're wondering how many souls He died for, He died for all of them. All of them. I'm not a Calvinist, okay? I believe that Jesus died for all. A-double-L. And not all will believe, but He died for all. And I'm grateful for that great truth, because there's not a person on this earth that we cannot say, hey, Jesus died for you. So we can say that to every single person. There is that great authority and great compassion that we can have in telling this world about Jesus. Now, I really wrestled with actually what to preach today regarding missions. I had what I believe God wanted me to give you. But I believe it was what I wanted to give you. I'm like, Lord, but it's got some very valid points that I think would be helpful in this season, and the Lord just would not give me liberty. But I couldn't get rid of this thought upon my heart this morning on the strategy for reaching this world. What is the strategy? How are we going to do what God has called us to do? It's a big world out there. I believe over 8 billion, am I correct in saying that? Over 8 billion humans alive today, scattered across this earth, many for whom have never heard of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Many of them have heard of the name Jesus. Most Muslims have heard the name Jesus. But they have never heard His name taught and preached in the context that He is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good prophet. He is God Almighty who came to this sin-cursed world and took on a human body. And He lived out a perfect life and became a perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God that tooketh away the sins of the world. And praise God, He died, He was buried, and on that third and glorious day, He arose. That's the message that most of this world has not heard. They've heard about Jesus, they've heard about perhaps Christians, but have they heard the clear gospel message? That it will cost them nothing, but it cost Him everything. And then when I say cost, I mean paying for the salvation. Most of the world teaches you pay for your salvation. You pay for it. Most of the world teaches that. Every other religion teaches you pay for your salvation. Through your life, you pay. You give. You pay. You do. You do. You do. All these things are paying for your salvation. And if God, and what the Muslims say, that you ask them if they're going to heaven, this is when we lived with them for 3 years, and you'd say, well, listen, are you going to heaven? They'd say, Ashallah. Ashallah. If God wills. They had no assurance. I'll go to heaven if God decides, if my good weighs out my bad, if I went to the mosque enough times, which is 5 times a day, if I fasted in Ramadan and even made it to the Mecca, the promised land for the Muslims, if you make a trip there, that's another tack for you to be able to get into the celestial city. They have all these things, and all of these religions have all these things. If you do, and the Christian looks to Calvary. He looks to an empty cross and an empty tomb where a Savior died and gave His life. That's the message we're taking. That's the message that saved my soul. It thrills my heart today that we can go and say, you don't have to pay anything. Jesus paid it all. That's a wonderful message, is it not? And that's what these missionaries are doing. I think of the Johnson family there in the Dominican Republic and Carlos and Sarah Moore. I just think about them preaching the gospel to those islanders that most of them have been deceived by a form of Catholicism that teaches you got to pay your way. You got to do your way into heaven. They're preaching the gospel. I think of all these different ones. I think of our brother over in Ireland, the Canavans. That's a hard place. It's filled with Catholicism and people. It's just a hard place. But to hear what God's doing there, they're proclaiming that Jesus paid it all. And we're getting to be a part of each of these families. I'm so thankful. Places like Paraguay that I really didn't know much about. Still don't know a ton about, but I know we have a missionary now that's proclaiming the gospel. That encourages my heart. I think of places that I can't even say because we're on live stream. Places in Asia and even North Africa. Areas of our world where it's very difficult for Christians to get into. And when they do go in, they have to go under a different name. Of a form of business, perhaps. Because it's illegal. It's illegal to proclaim the gospel. But they go anyway. God's put a calling on them. And the Spirit of God put a calling on their hearts and they go and God has made a way and there's people being saved in those countries. I think of Mike and Sharon Keller. I've mentioned them already. They're on my heart. You know why? We took a trip there this summer to Orem, Utah. It's a very slow work. It's a very hard work among the Mormon community. Greatly morally righteous people, honestly. Very kind people, nice people. But they're lost because they're trying to pay their way into heaven. They're depending on their good works and they deny the deity of Christ. Different things, but I'm grateful that we got a missionary being a light to the gospel. I believe that. That encourages my heart this morning. You see, we have a strategy. A strategy? What is that strategy? Well, I want you to look with me at 2 Corinthians 10 for a moment. Notice there what it says here when Paul is talking about in the context of spiritual warfare. Specifically, he was talking about combating false teaching and false prophets, which anyone that teaches salvation outside of Jesus Christ and Him alone is a false prophet. And by the way, Sometimes when I say that, I realize when I went to Orem, Utah, that was some of the most frustrating times when it comes to talking to a Mormon, because what you say, they will agree with almost everything you say. But there's a different definition of terms. Very subtle. Different definition of terms. Same terms. Born again? Oh, yes. Jesus God? Oh, yes. They'll agree with that. I couldn't believe it. I said, are you sure? Wait a minute. You don't think you believe it? Oh, yeah, we believe Jesus is God. Well, they believe that Jesus became a God. Okay? He started off just like me. Just same thing. God the Father? They believe God the Father started off as a human just like you and me. And eventually worked himself up to the God the Father as we know him. You see, there's a different set of terms being used, but I'm thankful we got a missionary there proclaiming the gospel. Praise God, right there on UVU, University, Utah Valley, right there where Charlie Kirk was assassinated. We were there just 2 months before proclaiming the gospel, and Mike and Sharon and Carolyn were there before proclaiming the gospel, and they're there now proclaiming the gospel, and I thank God for them. I could just go down the line here in Chile, you know. Scotland, we've been there. I mean, just so many places. I just, my heart is thrilled. They're in Canada. They're in Brazil. Just all these different places. I think of Australia now. You've been keeping up with the Cooks. I assume some of you perhaps have seen that they've been on deputation for like over three years now. Well, guess what? They're in Australia. They made it. And they didn't stop and quit. And it's a godless continent. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going. I'm grateful. I know you are too. I want our hearts to be encouraged by that. God has told them to go where we are not. And how are we to support them? Well, let's look here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice what Paul says in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, he's talking about his human body right now, the flesh, the skin. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He explains that in the parenthetical statement here in verse 4. He explains that we do not war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. With the Lord's help, I want to preach a message to you entitled this morning, Following the Strategy of Jesus. Following the strategy of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us now. Spirit of God, fill me. I can do nothing to persuade or encourage or convict any of these precious friends before me. I cannot. But Spirit of God, you can. And I'm asking you to do it. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to all of us. Help us to know that your strategy has never failed. It is working. It will always work. Help us to be full of faith and obey. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice with me there in that context there, that verse, verse 3. We do not walk, Paul says, necessarily, for though we walk in the flesh. You're here in the flesh today. In the sense of your body. At least I hope you're really here. I think you are. Everybody seems alive and awake and enthusiastic. And so I appreciate that. But that's just your body. But also, he says, though we're here in our body, he says, that's not what we use to fight spiritual warfare. He said, the forces of hell that are seeking to blind the minds of all this world, that they believe not the gospel and get saved, that's going to take a whole different strategy. It's going to be more than just my body, although we are called to give our bodies for the gospel's sake. But what we use our bodies for is the strategy that he gives here. Notice what he says. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. That war, that word war, it's the Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's something like strategio, and it's where we get our English word strategy. We war or strategize not after the flesh, but how do we strategize? How do we warfare? It's the same word in verse 4. For the weapons of our strategy or warfare against the wicked one are not carnal. Okay? That's not what we fight with. We don't fight to win this world to Christ with guns. We don't fight to win this world to Christ with bombs. We don't fight this world to win this world to Christ with any of those things, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That is what we fight with. Now, what are these strategies, or what is the strategy? What are the weapons of our warfare? Well, I want to give you three this morning. If you're taking notes, would you please write these down? Here in just a moment, I want to give you these 3 points, and I hope you'll understand this is the strategy that Jesus Christ has given us. You know, Jesus, when He called those disciples, when they were doing their job, mending the nets, and they were catching fish, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, those disciples that they're working out with their, working with their dad, Zebedee. They were out there just doing your normal job, whatever they were called to do, equipped to do. Jesus came alongside the shore, and He said this, "Follow Me," and what'd He tell them? "I will make you fishers of men." Follow Me, Jesus said. The strategy for reaching this world is following Jesus. It's following Jesus. It's following in His footsteps. What did Jesus do here on this earth to win this world? And what did He do as an example? But then He's also going to command us to do each of these. We're going to follow Jesus. Number one, if we're going to reach this world for Christ, number one, we're going to pray. Write that down. Pray. Jesus prayed. Do you remember that? Do you remember that in Matthew chapter 9 when Jesus was teaching us how what to pray for when it came to the mission field? He said here in chapter Matthew chapter 9 verse 36, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them." I'm so thankful we have a compassionate Savior. Oh, may our steps be following in the steps of the Savior who was compassionate. Can I ask you a question? Let me give you a quick test real quick. Do you think about this for a moment? What does your heart do when you look upon the wickedness of this world? Is it moved with hatred? Or is it moved with compassion? Because Jesus, when He looked at this world, although He was not in agreement with, obviously, with the wickedness that was taking place, that was totally anti-Christ, but when Jesus looked at these people, His heart was moved with compassion. What happens when you look at Atlanta? What happens when you go through the slums of Athens and where there are homeless people who are on drugs and drunkenness? What happens to my heart? Is it a heart that moves immediately to prayer? Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, help them to get the gospel. Oh God, that's what Jesus' compassion moved Him to do. It moved Him to pray. It moved Him to pray that God would move their hearts to Him. You see, prayer changes things. Notice what it says. It says Jesus went in all the cities, teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing sickness and every disease among the people. Then He says when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. He said in verse 37, then said it His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What did He say? What would be the strategy to resolving the lack of laborers? What would be the remedy, brother? Sister, what would be the remedy? Pray! Pray! prayer. God, send missionaries out of our church. Lord, send me. Lord, take my children. Take my grandchildren. Lord, take our church. Do what you want with us, Lord. Please help these lost people to get the gospel in Atlanta and Canada and Japan. As I go through the list, I just wish I could go through all of them. But our time fails us. But nevertheless, you think about this. And it's, Lord, we want to make an impact on praying. We want to make an impact on praying. How would you respond, church? And I'm just talking right now. I'm just talking. I'm going to take a little sidestep here. I just want to talk with you. What can we do to improve the prayer life of our church? Well, I'm not saying it's awful. I'm not saying it's awesome. I'm not putting here to put a grade on it. But I will tell you this. Wednesday night service, we have about maybe 30, 40 people that are here in a prayer meeting. I don't know that that's necessarily reflection of people that don't come. I'm not saying that. You let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. But what about our prayer lives? What about our families when we meet? Do we have a family altar? I'm really burdened about that, church. I feel like I'm failing you as a pastor if I'm not encouraging the family altar. The family altar is vitally important to give us a burden for the world, to pray for the lost around us, the lost in your neighborhood, the people that we support. Prayer is going to change things. I think upon a member of our church right now. I don't want to embarrass him, but he just shared with me this morning. A best friend of his growing up, a childhood friend he'd been praying for. In the past 5 years, especially since this member got right with God. But he said he just got a call this morning. Basically saying, hey, God's doing a work in my heart. And I believe, basically expressing, I'm seeking God for salvation. I want to know what baptism means. I want to know what I'm seeking the Lord. And he said, when I come home for Christmas, I'm going to be coming home for a few days. He says, I want to meet with you. And I want to hear this thing about being saved and then baptized. Like, what is that about? Hey, you know what? That didn't come overnight, but that's that member praying. Praying for souls, praying for people to get under conviction. I tell you what, Jesus prayed. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that he prayed there in John 17. We have an example of him praying. But you know, it's the world he prayed for. And he not only just prayed for the world, but he prayed for us. He says, as my Father has sent me, what did he say? So I send you. Just like Jesus, he prayed that. He encouraged that. And it's that matter of prayer. I wonder, I don't know, maybe it would help. Maybe if I just said on Wednesday nights, what we're going to do is we'll come in, we'll read a passage of Scripture, and then we'll just go straight to prayer. I'm not saying that would work, but maybe it would. If you have any ideas how to grow the prayer life of our church, I am totally open because I believe that is the lifeline of this local church. And we're going to be able to continue doing missions and supporting missions and going soul winning and having family altars as we emphasize the importance of prayer. But then secondly, the strategy is not only pray, but we give. I spent a lot of time on this last Sunday. If you weren't here on that, I encourage you to go back and listen to the message if you would, please. I mean, I think it would be helpful just to see what I believe the Lord put on my heart to give us regarding giving. We preached out of Matthew chapter 6. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul gave a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Lord spoke to him in a time of difficulty. And in Acts chapter 20, you can write this reference down and maybe look at it later, but I'd like to read it. Acts chapter 20, it says here in verse number 35, Acts 20, 35. Notice what the Word of God says here. He's going through a hard time. In verse 34, The Bible says, "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I mean, he was going through a difficult time because he was getting ready to separate from the brethren that he had poured into and discipled. And it was a difficult time, but Paul had a giving mentality. Jesus had a giving mentality. The Bible says Jesus gave of Himself. That's the first thing we got to give, isn't it, church? Just give of myself. Lord, I want to give myself to You. Take my life and let it be consecrated unto Thee. That's what Jesus did in Galatians, it says it clearly as our Lord, as Paul was talking about the Lord giving Himself. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says this. Who gave Himself, I'll read verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. I love this. That He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He gave Himself for our sins, my sin. Jesus gave Himself. He gave of Himself. He gave of His time. He gave of His strength. He gave of His life. He gave up heaven's glory. He gave it all up for you and me. You know, the Bible says that He actually became poor, that we might be made rich. Praise God. That's our Savior. That's our King. That's my God who said, I'm going to become poor. I'm not even going to have a place to call my own where I can sleep as an adult. I'm going to have to mooch off of people. I'm going to have to be here and there, sleep in the woods or the wilderness. I'm going to have to be here and there and stay with friends' house. I'm not even going to have a place to call my own. And I'm coming for you, friend, because I love you. I'm coming to die for you. I want to give of myself. I want to give up all that which I have known for all eternity. Oh, to come for you, Brinson. I'm coming for you because I love you. I saved you. And now you can't pay for it. It's by grace. But now you know what you can do, Brinson. You can give your life for my glory. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, it means giving up my ambitions and dreams to say, Lord, I want my dreams to be from You. I want my vision to be from You. I want my goals to be from You. Lord, I want my life. I wish I had a blank piece of paper up here. Yep, there we go. Lord, I just want to give You a blank piece of paper. And I just signed the bottom. Lord, I want to do it. Lord, please, I want Your will for my life. Lord, my money, it belongs to You. Show me how You want me to use it. Lord, I know You give clear commands in Scripture about the local church giving and then missions giving and then giving to the others might be blessed. Be praying about that. And as a local church, how we do that. Yes, we give of our finances. We certainly do. Even in times of recession, even when times are tough, we just say, God, we're going to trust You like Brother Mark McElreath did. Lord, we don't know how You're going to do this, but God, we're going to trust You to do it. Not only that, but it means giving of my time. I want to give of my time, Lord, for You. I want to dedicate it to You. This life is not about me. I tell you this, I want to give my children. I want my children, and I pray, and I pray for your children as well. I pray that we will have a giving attitude when it comes to our children. And say, God, You take my child and You use it. They belong to You. I'm simply a steward. You take my precious child that I love dearly and I dedicate them to Your glory. I want You to use them, Lord. If You want to take them to the other side of the world, it might hurt, Lord. And I'm going to miss them. I would miss them. I know it. But Lord, I would much rather to be missing them here, them being in the will of God, them being right by their side, and them being out of the will of God. I want my children to fulfill Your will. I give of my children, Lord. Just a giving heart. Giving of resources. Jesus gave it all. That's the strategy. There's no other. It's worked from the beginning of time. It's worked from the beginning of the New Testament. Pray. Give. And then thirdly, go. Would you write those three down? Pray, give, go. It's the strategy of Jesus. We follow in His footsteps. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the general. He's the one who's given the commands to pray and to give and to go. This last point, I think of going. I think of how important it is for us to take the command very seriously to go. Now, again, as I mentioned just a moment ago, Jesus first gave this example. You remember that passage in Philippians, don't you? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind, this kind of thinking, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know, I think upon the truth of Scripture, you see it over and over and over. He that abases himself shall be exalted. He that humbles himself in due time, God will exalt. You see the pattern of Scripture. It's the strategy of God's people. We just go. We go no matter what it costs us, no matter what people say, we simply go. We go with the gospel. Jesus gave us that example, but not only did He give us that example, but thank God He commanded it. Didn't He? Didn't the Lord command it? I mean, how many times did the Lord say, go, go, go ye therefore, go into all the world, go, G-O, go, go, go. Billy Sunday said there wouldn't be so many really non-churchgoers if there weren't so many non-going churches. There's a truth to that. Now, I know there's a strategy that the world is creeping into the church and they're saying, no, all that just pray, give, go stuff, that doesn't really work anymore. We need to bring the world into the church. Let's bring in the bigness and the brightness and the glamour. Let's bring all that. Let's bring the rock and rap stage shows. And let's bring in the glorious disco lights. And let's bring the smoke machines. And let's bring in, just come in and give us 30 minutes of your time a week religion. And go about living the way you want to. That's where we'll get them in the church. But that's not Jesus' strategy. And the world and the church is saying, no, we can't just do that anymore. We can't just do Book of Acts strategy. We can't just do that. We got to get the world in here and then they will come. But that's not, it sounds good on the surface, folks, but it's a trap. It's a trap. It builds and breeds superficiality. Shallow discipleship, shallow commitment. Looks good on the surface. We love Jesus. Well, I'm not here to judge any man's heart. I don't know. God knows. But I'm just saying that's what it builds and breeds. But an authentic Christianity is going to make these three the main focus of our lives. We're going to be praying in our family altar praying. We're going to be praying in our church on Wednesday nights. We're going to be praying maybe on Sunday services praying. What if we just dedicated? Would it be unbiblical if we just dedicated a whole AM service and said, folks, today, there's going to be no preaching. There's not even going to be any music. We're just going to spend the next hour in prayer. Wow. That would be, I believe, wonderful. That could be, if God the Holy Spirit led us to do that. But let's not get so, because sometimes I'm just as guilty as anybody. And y'all just bear with me here. You're hearing your pastor's heart here. We get so much into our American Christianity mindset that it's got to be tat, 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 just like this. Instead of just being Holy Spirit led and empowered. Listen, I'm for order. I believe in organization, although I am not a very organized individual. But I tried, but listen, I believe in structure. I believe that. There's a sense of orderliness that's in the Bible. Let everything be done decently and in order. But folks, we need to be getting back to where Jesus says, my house, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. Going. Salt of the earth, as Brother Steve reminded us this morning, the men's prayer breakfast. To have a zest and zing of flavor about our lives as we enter out into a dark world. It's making an impact. Going. Going. Are we going? Are we telling others? I don't know who sings that song. I don't know if we've ever done it, but that little song that says, I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nations I'm blessed. Tell them that Jesus made me whole. Hey, I like that old song. I don't know who sings it, where it came from, but that's what we have been called to go and tell the world about this, that Jesus saves. And we're sending a people where we're not called to go to Burkina Faso in West Africa. But we know a family, two families that are. The Rishals and the Shoemakers, faithfully serving. I don't know, maybe you are called there. Maybe you're thinking about going, praise God. But most of us here know that God's placed us here for right now anyway. But praise God, we can send them to go in our place. It's God's design. It's God's strategy. Pray, give, go. It has not failed. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So let's follow the strategy of Jesus. Let's don't make excuses. Let's don't take the substitutes. Listen, I know those of you with diabetes, you count this as a great blessing. And I'm not being critical of this, but when you use Splenda and NutraSweet, I know that can be a blessing because you can't have the real thing because it jacks your sugar up. So I'm not being critical. But listen, it's not a real good substitute. Just not the same. And we don't want to be trying to find substitutes for what God has told us to do about pray, giving, and going. There is no substitutes. That's what works. Let's pray.